In 2013, the World Hard-Boiled Egg Eating Championship.
Oh.
You're not going to believe this. Whoa. Joey Chestnut devoured the world record of 141 eggs.
Oh, my goodness.
In 8 minutes.
No.
Whoa.
Oh,
that doesn't even... How could you do that? Well, wouldn't you love to see a video of that?
I would. I've seen the hot dog eating contest. I have seen the hot dog eating contest.
No, are they really gross?
Yes. Always these super skinny little, you know, young kids.
Do they eat the bun and everything?
You know, I can't remember. I don't think so. I think it's just the hot dog.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. You couldn't eat that much. Yeah. You'd die. You would just float, roll over and die. You didn't know that flour. You know, your whole body would stick together, you know, like in grade school when we made that paste. You know, we made paste out of in grade school, right? Flour. Did you do that? Make your own paste?
Eat the paste?
Yeah. No, and no, make your paste in grade school.
No, I didn't eat the paste in grade school.
No, not eat it, baby. Make it and to use
make the paste. I'm sorry.
And, you know, to do it for pictures and stuff. We used to make paste in school, kindergarten, first grade. And they would use flour and water.
I don't remember us making paste. I only remember us making the thing to do the paper mache.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing, isn't it? Yeah. Paper mache. Well, we had nuns and they were, you know, they didn't get out much. So, mm-hmm. If you know what I mean.
Well, I guess making the paste would be good if the kids were wanting to eat the paste.
That's right.
I mean, I remember I thought that's what you said because I had friends of mine that would eat paste. They would eat paste. They would eat the pencil leads.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We had a kid.
The erasers. Off.
I know. It's like, what are you doing eating that? And they just eat them. You know, they just need more lead. Good morning on the phone. Who's this? Hello.
Hey. Good morning. This is Robert in Houston.
Hello.
Hey, Robert.
Robert in Houston.
Well, I started the Martin Patella program for reversing mental illness, so I thought I'd check in and see if I'm making any progress.
Oh, really? You know, the fellow...
Doesn't sound like it's working to me.
No, you sound just as crazy as ever, Robert, so you better... You know, can you get a refund? Just kidding.
Well, I was curious to see if you thought about starting it.
No, I wouldn't join any club like that because, you know, anybody that would let me in as a member, I don't want to join.
Pardon, Groucho Marx.
No, Woody Allen, was it? Maybe it was Groucho Marx that Woody Allen stole from Groucho Marx. So let's see, Martin Patel, I liked him. He was the fellow, he's in BC, right? So
right.
What kind of program does he have that you joined up?
Well, he talked about a lot of stuff what we know about, but when I hear it four, five, or six times, then it sinks into a larger degree. So he was mentioning about the methylfolate. And then he talked about a bunch of other stuff, too. So he's kind of...
Oh, Sharon.
Like a lot of people, synopsis of everything we know.
Yeah, Sharon, what he was saying
diet,
was...
health, supplements.
The reason Robert's ears perked up is because what he said was on the show, which I had never heard... You've heard the idea that some people are poor methylators, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they got that MTHFR
zipper
or whatever it is. Okay, so then they have a hard time with just folic acid. Their body doesn't like it at all. So they need to get a certain kind of B vitamin. What is it, Robert? Just quick, just give the name. Give me the name.
Folate is the vitamin.
Yeah, folate, it's a B with a folate, but rather than folic acid. So the guy says, oh, and by the way, people who are poor methylators, they're generally OCD. So I just got an email from Robert like 2 seconds after he said that, and Robert started asking questions.
That is so funny.
So that's what tripped Robert, I guess. So Robert, that's what kind of got you to do the Marty thing?
No, to a degree, I knew about it, but I had a blood work done recently too, and that's why I called in because I hadn't been to the doctor to get any blood work since I finished that medicine for hepatitis C, that $80,000 Harvoni drug, which you see advertised, the people riding off on a horse in the sunset.
Oh, you bought one of those?
Boomers, you know?
Did you buy some of those? Mm-hmm. You bought that?
Well, insurance bought it.
Wow.
So.
Did it work?
Yeah. shows no viral.
Huh? 80 grand, huh? Wow.
But like I kept asking Dr. Massey, he said a couple of his friends, they did it, but then some...
Came back.
Some wheels fell off the cart, so it's kind of funny, you know.
Sure.
Nobody really kind of knows for sure, meaning anytime you take something like that, there's probably an upside and a downside. So blood work all looks good, but I do see that my hepatitis C antibodies are real high. So it's almost like you had your body producing these soldiers your whole life,
yeah,
or as long as you had it, say 10, 15, 20 years. Then all of a sudden you take something and the enemy is gone. Yeah. Now all these soldiers are still running around.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But I would think, Robert...
The antibodies.
Yeah. I see. So, but they'll probably chill out, you know. I don't think that's a permanent kind of a thing. The body's not stupid enough to keep making more soldiers than what it needs. So it could just be leftover soldiers that haven't been cleared the battlefield yet, you know.
Right. And as far as that's the only thing
that
was abnormal.
That's just my theory.
And then the reason I mentioned that to tie it all together was this doctor did do the methylation, the MTHFR gene, and sure enough, I have the three strikes. There's people with zero strikes, then there's one strike, then you can have two, and then three is the worst one. It's like 10% of the population, so I have that one, and I did it before I did the 23andMe, but again, I didn't know or take it serious enough to the degree that I'm taking it now. I'm like, okay, well, there must be something to this now.
Yeah.
Let me really maybe take a look at this.
Yeah. Okay, well, so you're going to do it. You're doing a little thing to kind of help you with your OCD-ness?
Well, you do take the methylfolate. Now, there's no test, like most things, to tell you how many eggs to eat.
No. I was asking about the MARTI thing that you're going to do, this little program for your OCD.
Right, well, that's what I mentioned. I'm taking the methylfolate, but I'm trying to work on how much to take, because if you look on the Internet... You start out slow because the methylation throws into action a whole bunch of stuff that goes on. So you start out slow and you may have to work up to like 10 grams of methylfolate a day. Mm-hmm. But it all depends on a person. So I'm just doing a trial, seeing what's going on. I see some improvement. And before, again, I took it before, but not on a regular basis. And then I took stuff that probably had folic acid in too, which he says, you know, when you take the folic acid, it kind of backfires on you or builds up. So really, most people can process the folic acid. You know, if you look at one of these flow charts into the body metabolism, you know, it has to convert five or six things in your body to get to that state of absorption, the bioavailable methylfolate. So if you don't have that gene's like missing there, then you can't convert that. So that's why probably maybe at a young age, Bobby was sitting in a corner in classroom because he had a mouthful of mercury fillings. Maybe couldn't process that stuff and vaccines and who knows. And other people who don't have that gene, they seem to do better. I'm just generalizing. I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff to it too. But so there may be something to the genetic testing. And let me just throw this out there too. And maybe if Patrick's listening.
Okay, don't forget. I am listening. Don't forget.
No, Patrick McGee,
okay,
the sulfur
guy. But let me interject here, if I'm moi. Don't forget that you can change all these things. These aren't etched in stone. Epigenetics proves that. So you can change those with attitude, with diet, with lifestyle, with all the things that you are, your state of consciousness and what you do and how you take care of yourself, those things can flip over again because it's not normal for them to even be there.
Well, until I can meditate and think to change the oil in my car and purify it by just prayer, I'm going to change the oil, you know.
Okay. What else, Robert?
Yeah, that would be nice to try, you know, but I don't know how you can, you have to just keep going back, trying stuff, testing, going back, trying, testing, and...
I'm sorry, I kind of lost you. What are we talking about now? come back, try testing.
Let me tie it all together. Just like the hepatitis C, man, I must have spent probably $50,000 or $100,000 trying this, trying that,
IV, ozone, everything, you know.
And everybody's like, man, just think about it and it'll go away and try this and all that. And I'm with you on the power of the mind, don't get me wrong, but I guess there's some things that are maybe too powerful, etched in stone, you know.
No, they're not. I don't believe there are. If the paradigm works, you know, which it does because of divine spirit, Robert, it's not something that you can just change the law and spirit says, no, that guy's bigger than me. No, because all
you
of
have
oh,
a,
hold
you
on a second, hold, type. Take a breath, hold on a second, man.
Great, great.
Okay, so because
it ain't working all the way yet.
Okay, well, that's right. No, that's right. It's just let me finish, please. Is that that all these things like energy blocks and liver and, you know, all these things, Robert, and they're all physical reality, right? They're all physical reality, and they're all been created by spirit through us from our not understanding how to use spirit correctly in our bodies to chi. You know, it gets filtered the wrong place because we get stressed out and stuff, right? So divine spirits is the first cause, and that's what changes your body as long as we allow it to. So you don't even have to believe, you don't have to do anything really special except contemplate on that kind of an idea, like over 2 or 3 days. And once you really believe it, right, you go, wow, that's possible, right? That could work. I could get into that. I can believe that. And you just believe that. And you really believe it, that's all you got to do. And you're done. And the body will begin to do its magic. It won't happen overnight because you got this karma and this time-space thing you're dealing with. But it'll work itself out. And it really, you know, wasn't it that the fellow yesterday was talking about this, the belief systems that we carry subconsciously, you know, they're running the show. You know, Dr. Massey talks about it. So, you know, I'm saying we can change these, you know, but just by changing our attitude. Okay.
Darryl Wolf was talking about
that's
that.
Right, Darryl Wolf.
He invited you to go down to his clinic. Where's he at?
He's up, actually. He's in Vancouver. He's in Vancouver.
He's in Canada, too.
Canada, too, yeah.
And what's he, a chiropractor? He kept talking about...
He's a PhD type, a thud PhD, so I'm not sure his whole background, but I liked him a lot. I think he's onto something.
He's on a lot of that cancer, the truth about cancer, any kind of health seminar, he's always around there. But he kept talking about body adjustments and spinal adjustments and that too, so that's why I thought he was a chiropractor.
Yeah, his contention is, and that's why I would like to talk to Carol sometime, is that we carry a lot of the stuff in these scar tissue, right? Scar tissue around the body, around the knee, around everywhere in the uterus, and this is what causes fibroids and stuff like that. And then with the right body work can help you to break up the scar tissue. Now, I do know, I said that, and he kind of thinks that his is very unique, and it could probably be totally different, but this is what Rolfing does. It's similar, you know, Rolfing does. My body work guy, he works with scar tissue all the time. You know, and that's a lot of the work that we did when I had the sciatica. And, you know, there's scar tissue, Robert and everybody and Sharon, around the intestines and the stomach. And it's really interesting doing the body work I did. You know, he got digging there and he said, oh, part of your stomach is kind of stuck up there on the back of your body there, gets stuck.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? You know?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought of something while you were talking. Let me go back to the methylation and look at it a different way. You know, we often say God didn't create no junk. So let's just say we were born with certain DNA that controlled our blood. I have AB blood type.
Right.
I can't change that, I don't think, or nor do I want to change
right.
that.
Of course.
That said, certain things you do to work with that. So if I was born with the methyl gene,
yeah.
who knows the big plan? Maybe God created people, so there ain't a million people on this planet more than we need or whatever, so we have a expiration date, right, which you believe in. So that said, though, I'm not sure, you know, I want to be changing some things. I'd like to, but as you often say, you know, I was given this or brought this on so I can figure out what to do. Because one of the things with that methylation, which he talks about that, a lot of those people, I want to say they were highly intelligent or musicians or this or that. He was talking about that, how he was talking about Jewish people, good in math and all that. So there may be an upside to having some of these so-called abnormalities.
Yeah.
And not all downside, knowing what you got, not having to change it, because right away you jumped in, you know, well, you can change that.
Well, I didn't jump in to say what you were saying was wrong.
Yeah.
This was an addendum, because you had some...
epigenetics,
you had some kind of more deterministic thoughts in there, like you couldn't, and I just... wanted to say, well, maybe my opinion, you can. That's all. I wasn't saying what
you said. Well, again, not necessarily change it, but just take the right form of stuff, because I think,
you're right. Even when you take the right pill, right, that just gives the body information. So you're working on the physical level, which is great, and then you can work on the emotional and the spiritual level as well. Does that make sense? So that's how the body kind of comes together with all these things. So that, so that doesn't mean, you know, just because you keep wanting to your thyroid to get stronger, and rather than say I have hypothyroidism, I would say something like my thyroid's getting stronger every day, but you can still take iodine too, and, you know, it's kind of takes two to tango, and maybe someday you don't need the iodine or...
Yeah, I'd like to really know more about that methylfolate and folic acid, because, like, I'm thinking while we're talking here now, again, if there's folic acid in a lot of foods, and I think that is a different type of folic acid that may not bother the system, if I'm not sure somebody can
No, the methyl people have told me that the folic acid they put in the food is the kind of folic acid you don't want. That's what I've been
even
told.
Even in the food?
Yeah.
I was just reading online different.
Lynn may know that. Lynn, if you know that, because I know she studied this stuff. You know, Robert, you tend to get caught up in the weeds a lot, and be careful, you know, where you go with all this. And if I thought about all this stuff you just did for me, my head would explode.
Well, let me just go ahead and finish where I was going to go with that. Now, so let's just say Bob does, or somebody has that methyl. Right. Maybe eating natural stuff may not irritate as much as I may have gotten in trouble taking supplementation in pills, because a lot of the pills have folic acid, and that folic acid is synthetic, not natural. So, you see, again, it kind of gets a little tricky there. So nothing wrong with maybe taking Mother Nature, but here was me maybe eating a lot of that cereal growing up with a ton of sugar. Sharon, are you still with us?
I am. I'm listening.
Okay, I'm waiting for you to jump in and break us up any minute now.
Oh, no, I'm having too much fun.
Just having too much fun.
And taking folic acid in the cereal, you know, because they fortify most of those cereals and all that.
Last
question on the sulfur.
Yes?
Let me jump in, because I know you want to get
Move
going
on.
Up.
Yeah.
When I was looking at my genetics, actually, and this is just for clarification, I have a lot of genes that have to do with sulfuration, and they have a lot of the two or three strikes on there. Now, I know if you told somebody can't process sulfur, they'd say, if you couldn't process sulfur, you'd be dead. And I agree, because you have to process sulfur, you'd be dead. The question is, how much sulfur can you take? So remember you were doing that taste test, and I know with the oral taste test for some minerals, if it's bitter, you don't need it. If it's sweet, you need it. And if I'm not mistaken, you said with the sulfur, it's just the opposite. If it's sweet, you don't need it. And if it's bitter, you need
that
it.
Was just my, that was just my theory. But, you know, I just...
Oh, that was a theory?
I
thought someone was... Patrick was talking that. No.
There, it's all theory. No matter who you talk to, it's all theories. Nobody can prove anything. That was just my theory. But...
McGee is listening. Chime in, McGee.
Well, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Where'd you come up with that theory?
You better watch it
with those theories, pal.
Well, they just come up, you know. They just come up, and I just repeat them. I don't know where they come from. How does it taste
when you put it in your mouth, Sharon or Patrick? How's it taste?
Oh, I get,
with the salt?
I get some bitter in there.
Yeah, I do, too. I usually mix mine with vitamin C, and it kind of takes the edge off.
Now, I can put 2 tablespoons in a glass, and it tastes like sugar to me, seriously. Because when people would always call in, Patrick and Sharon, and they'd say it's bitter, I'm like, what? I swear, I can put a tablespoon in my mouth, and it tastes like sugar. So maybe,
I'm just throwing it out there,
maybe all the DMSO I've taken over the years and eggs, and maybe it's possible I may be taking too much. Now, again, McGeehan would probably say, not too much, you'll just pee it out. But if McGeehan,
I think if you try to figure these selves up on the mental level, you go to black holes. Robert.
I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
You always say that. Just take it. Robert, take it. If you like the way you feel, keep taking it. If you don't, then you maybe have taken too much and you're detoxing. If you don't take enough, if you want to feel more energy, just take some more. That's the only way you're going to know. Don't go out here wanting people to tell you what's right and what's wrong, you know. It's just...
This was a program of discussion.
I'm trying to help out here, brother. I'm just trying to help you out.
Sharon, we're supposed to be discussing this. Look at him beating me up.
Do you think that the under methylators got OCD? Holy cow, did you just hear the last 30 minutes? Robert, we're going to go now. It's always fun talking to you.
Okie dokie.
See you soon.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
It's great, man.
I just have to stay out of that one.
No, I know. That's what you know. You know, what the heck? I think Robert and I were brothers in a past life anyway, so we can get away with any. It's great. Isn't it amazing how this little relationship has evolved over the years?
Really is.
Now I get to the point where I say, no, Robert, you know, it's like that Bob Newhart film. Remember that? It was so hilarious. So he was a psychiatrist, all right? He was a therapist, right?
He was a therapist.
And that's what he was his character in the Bob Newhart show. And this lady kept walking in, was kind of like a Robert with an OCD thing, and started explaining, you know, all the stuff that she's got, you know. And Newhart is sitting there, and he goes, and so she said, what should I do, you know? And he said, stop it!
Yes!
Stop it! Stop! That's all he would say. He'd say, okay, what else? And then she'd tell him about something else that she's doing that she doesn't like, you know, whatever. So he'd just say, stop it. That's how I feel with Robert sometimes. Oh, my goodness. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Previously with Stephen Huer and why the uniqueness of One World Way delivers exceptional benefits.
A non-denatured, truly pure, truly raw whey protein will only help to raise glutathione. And when you raise glutathione, you have to remember every cell of the body, your pancreas, your liver, brain, all are dependent upon 10% of the protein content and every cell being glutathione, and makes that cell detoxify itself of heavy metals, chemicals, and whatever drugs. And then that makes the cell healthy. And one of the reasons that you have chronic disease is because the cells of the different organs and bodies are producing too little glutathione. They're succumbing to the free radicals. They're succumbing to the toxins, damaging the function of that organ. And that's one of the reasons why One World Way is so profoundly therapeutically powerful, because every cell and every organ depends upon high levels of glutathione. And this is the number one food to fuel it over long periods of time, is glutathione production.
One World Way offers 4 very, very good tasting flavors: chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored. Click and order One World Way right now on OneRadioNetwork.com. I don't even know how it's possible that Stephen can talk that quickly and remember all those words, and it's just doing it ad lib. He's a ball of energy, isn't he? It's just great. Yeah, whey is really fun. A non-GMO, of course. It's probably as raw as you can get without calling it raw. The federales don't let them call it raw because, well, it's not really anything if it's in a container, it can't really be raw. So we used to call it raw, and he said, well, no, we can't do that. But they do it at a temperature which is probably the best one out there to try to get these things so you can have it. Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and unsweetened, unflavored. You know, I've been using, sharing a little bit of this little white organic stevia in a couple little things. And, you know, it's pretty good if you don't use too much. And it's...
Like, what do you use it in?
Just like something like, I know, maybe just put a little sprinkle, maybe like a sprinkle, just like a snow on strawberries, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sweetens them up just a little bit, or, you know, something like that, rather than use maple syrup or honey. Now, I like to do honey every now and then just to hit, because it's so good for you, you know, the really good stuff, the Manuka honey. But, you know, maple syrup has a lot of sugar in it. And and I never did like it much, stevia. You know, we use stevia in our spaghetti sauce many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Italians always put just a little bit of sugar in their spaghetti sauce?
Yeah.
Just to kind of cut that high acid edge to a sauce. You know, a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, I would see my grandma just put a little pinch. And she'd only do it really in the sauces that she cooked all day. So we would use a little stevia in our spaghetti sauce 25 years ago. It's pretty cool. We had to smuggle it in over the border then.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, you weren't really allowed to sell it in the United States.
Stevia?
Yeah.
Wow.
At one point. Huh. Yeah, you know, C&H and the boys, man, they were out there just saying, no, I don't think this is a good idea. This stuff will kill you, you know, this stevia.
My goodness.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they were the whole, all of the other
They were GMO and their sugar beets, man. Oh, God. They were GMO and their sugar beets so they could make baby sugar beets faster on glyphosate. And then they were trying to keep stevia out of the country. Whew. Boy, man, is there a drug for that? I mean, can you just, you know, do you think meditation would help these guys or something? Teach them the hue, you know, do something. Yeah. God, silly people. Just silly. You guys are silly. Stop it. Just stop it.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Click on the One World Way banner ad right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
Sharon, did we get the Nature's Pure Organic things up yet in the store?
I have not put those in yet.
Okay, good. Nature's Pure Organics is a place where you can get yourself some really pretty amazing clay. I really like it. Putting some in Doodle's eye, Doodle's bowl, and I was saying the other day, she had this little white goo coming out of both eyes for, I don't know, a couple months. It was just some kind of detox, which is cool. You know, it's just coming out. I didn't worry about it. But she had about 2 or 3 days on some of this clay in her water bowl. And man, you know, she just stopped the goo stuff coming out of her eyes. It's pretty curious. So I've been going off and on and putting a little clay. So anyway, he's got some great clay. I think he's got 3 or 4 different kinds. You can do an 8-blend, 5-blend. Very meticulously put together. He's a really smart dude, smart guy. Really, really is. And then he's got all of these colloidal silvers and gold and copper and selenium. I think he's got magnesium. So that's pretty cool. And you can get some very high PPMs. I think kind of standard, some of them are 750, which is still, you know, probably three or four or five times more than most out there. And this is not nano, so that's cool. This is monoatomic, 3 million times smaller than nano, which is, I can't even fathom that, how they do that. Anyway, it's Nature's Pure Organics, just naturespureorganics.com. And I think he has his little phone number there. Okay.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
Uh-oh. You got any little wacky tobacco? You can do some wacky tobacco, as long as it's medicinal and legal in your state now. If it's not legal in your state, you can't do it. It's not legal, you know.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
John and Yoko, and did they have a baby?
Did they have a baby? Oh, yes, yeah. I think they did. They had one.
Oh, yeah, they had a boy, right? Boy.
Yeah, what was his name? Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, George or John. John, maybe, I think it was John, maybe. John Lennon?
No, yeah, Julian? I don't know. I know the one son he had with his first wife was named Julian.
Oh, Julian. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking. That's not
Julian
John.
Wasn't with Yoko Ono, though.
Ah, the Yoke. Gotta love Yoko, maybe.
Okay. Is she still so cute?
She is, yeah.
She's so cute.
She's pretty cool, yeah.
She's like a cute little old 80-year-old. She's just so cool looking.
Little bunny rabbit. Is she 80 years? 80 revs around the sun?
She's in her 80s. My. She's 84.
Really?
And she's still, the way she dresses, she just looks so chic and cool. And
yeah.
Just with her hats and her funky glasses. And oh, yeah.
Just kind of thinking about, the whole wacky tobacco thing and the 70s and all that. And I saw this story this morning. Check this out.
Their son's name is Sean.
Sean Lennon. Sean, that's right. There's a new film coming out, I think. Doodle, take it easy now. She's laying on her back. Just.
Wow, Sean looks just like
John. Sean. Looks like there's I want to watch this. There's a Showtime film, I bet it's on Netflix, called Becoming Cary Grant. Mm-hmm. And according to this article in The Guardian, he was English, wasn't he? He was an English, British Cary Grant.
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. According to this article, in the 1950s, at the height of his fame, Cary Grant set off a trip. Hold right there, we'll be right with you on the phone. Set off on a trip in search of his true self. Unpicking the myth he had spent 3 decades perfecting, he tried hypnosis and yoga and felt that they both came up short. So he began dropping acid and claimed to have found inner peace during my LSD sessions. I would learn a great deal, he would later remark, and the results was a rebirth. I finally got where I wanted to go. Over 100 acid trips, Cary Grant. I mean, who would know? Who would know?
Who would know? Yeah. Who would know?
Isn't that amazing? So he was quite a... I wonder how long he lived. Do we know?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. No. Yeah. Would you Google when Cary Grant died?
Let's see here.
Judy. Only Cary Grant impression. I wonder how long he lived. He was a looker boy. He a lot of girl.
Cary Grant died in 1986.
Wow. And what year?
I'm sorry. No. Sorry. That's not. Yes, he did. He died in 1986. Okay.
How old was he?
He was, he was born and he would have been 82.
Wow. So he did pretty 82. Good. Good for him. All right. I want to watch.
So he was only married. He was married only for 5 years of his life.
No kidding.
Yeah, he married Barbara Harris in 1981. Hmm. Is that his only wife, I guess, huh?
Becoming Cary Grant. There was also, of course, all kinds of talk that he was gay.
I always thought he was gay. Yeah, that's why I had always
thought. So he probably was, you know, probably just didn't get married back then, you know, if your boyfriend was a boy.
Wait a minute. No. Grant was married 5 times.
Oh, okay. Well, he wasn't gay, or just, you know, he liked girls too.
Still might have been gay.
He was a switch hitter.
5 times. Oh, wow. They didn't say that on the other way.
Who was he married to?
He was married to Virginia Sherrill.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was married, let's see here. He married Barbara Hutton.
Oh, well, we know Barbara. As Sharon's looking up.
Oh, he married Diane Cannon.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he had a brief affair with Cynthia Boron.
Well, I saw in our picture, I would too. I don't know if it'd be brief. But, you know.
Let's see.
Let's go to the phones here a second. Good morning. Who's this? Hello.
Good morning. This is Carol.
Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Carol. I called and you came. Hello, Carol. And she heard me way out there in the country.
Funny. That's funny.
I know. I've heard you through the waving of the prairie grass. Hey, how's my voice? I've got this on speakerphone. Is it okay?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Speaker's good.
Okay. Am I the Carol that you wanted to have call in?
No, actually, it was Carol Schwartz, who lived down the street.
Oh, okay.
She's a cute girl. I was trying to just be clever. Now, of course it was you. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Well, yeah, and you said it was something about the detoxing of the tissue that you wanted to
talk
about?
Did you happen to hear this fellow yesterday, Wolf?
I didn't hear him. No, I didn't, go ahead.
Okay, his basic premise was that we get scar tissue around this and that everywhere in the body, and this is one of the places where this energy blocks issues in your tissues hang out, right?
Right.
And of course, we had Dr. Marshall that said these scar tissues is where unfriendly actors hang out and they do the biofilms thing, right?
Right.
So there was two of them. But he was talking about, Carol, that he had this 7-day thing that he taught people of how to actually break up scar tissue things and really help the folks just let go of a lot of emotional stuff at the same time. But he said it was very unique and different and you had to go there to learn how to do it. And I thought to myself, no, I don't think so. I mean, so you're a body worker. You've been for your whole life. What do you think about what he said?
Well, you know, I had the benefit, of course, of knowing the wonderful, mystical Adano Lay. And I'm with you, Patrick. He would have loved you, and Sharon too. But he would always start out any session there saying, going to ask you a crazy question. And then he'd say, what's the first color that comes to your mind when you think of the problem?
That's what
situation. When you think of, he didn't even call it a problem.
Yeah,
when you think of the situation, what's the first color? And and I know Adam has gone over and over this with you, but I have found that is just so helpful when I'm working with people because, yes, I know what scar tissue feels like under my fingers. And I know how it acts in people's bodies because it restricts movement.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, I don't think you have to go out. I'd be interested to know what this guy
what he does
has
and all
discovered.
That. But do you think even with these canes, and I'm sure we could learn how to do our own little scar tissue release too, right? With just, you just work it long enough, it's going to go somewhere, isn't it?
Right, yeah, because then, I mean, I've had just an exposure to, like, the greatest of the great people as far as releasing scar tissue and fascia goes, because there was a donor to truly set me in the right direction, so that I knew that it came from trauma. It's a result of some kind of trauma, emotional as well as physical. And then the benefit of being able to study with, you know, a master in Austin, Richie Mintz, who blew me away with his skill as a technician and his brilliance as a teacher. Because really what he did say is the inner working intelligence and response and, solution response pattern of the body is very accessible in the tissue. It's like the printout. It's like a computer printout. You know, whatever runs through our psyche or mind or emotions, well, it gets recorded in the tissue. And that is actually, it's a way for us to think of where, kind of enlarges the idea of brain. You know, we think of, or many of us grew up thinking all of our thoughts and all of everything that makes us who we are is in the brain, in that gray matter. But really, it's running throughout our body in that sort of living brain that is in the tissue and that holds the emotion. So that's what's so fascinating about combining what I learned from Adano and just asking simple questions, simple crazy questions like, what's the first color that comes to your mind? And then being able to allow people to talk or access something related to, say, red. Okay, if it's red, then I know to ask them about a moving trauma. If it's on the right or the left side of the body, then I know to relate it to male or female. It becomes very simple. It's not complex the way that he broke it down.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's great when you get one side of the body, and or you can get. What are some of the other colors? So, red's a moving trauma.
Just the simple spectrum: red, orange, yellow, green, blue,
and they all have different
indigo,
connections.
Violet, white light.
They have different connections.
So, so red would be a moving trauma. And say it's the right front of the body. Something you're walking and you walked into a barbed wire fence. We've got a lot of those out here. So, and you tore up the front of your right leg. Right front is female. Right left is male. Now, where Adano got very specific about this, that's fascinating to me, is he understood that it reverses on the back of the body.
Yeah, it goes in the other way. Yeah,
and most therapists who go right side, left side, because there's a lot of that going around, they don't recognize the change. But it makes sense because the very core of what puts us together, our DNA, is twisted, right? It's the two strands. And so we kind of follow that on the DNA gets bigger and bigger and multiplies out and cells. And so we're just sort of a big piece of DNA walking around in one sense. And so that's why he understood that the back of the body is going to record differently from the front of the body. Mm-hmm. So that makes it simple, too.
Yeah.
So if it was the right back of the leg that had gotten scratched by the barbed wire, then I would ask, what's been going on in your life regarding a male and having to do with a moving or change in your life? And then orange would be having to do with the sexual trauma. Yellow is having to do with decision making, a change, a choice. Adam goes into this in a much more specific way.
And thanks for all that. And that's great. From my perspective, from my little seat in the bleachers, you can really see how the color thing is real, because you know, this, in my experience, this whole thing is a thought form anyway, right? The body is a thought form.
Right.
And we've created the body through eons of wanting to look at a certain way to survive, and how we've changed, I think. So it's just it's been a conscious evolution. And so our evolution now is conscious, because once we realize this, then we know that the attitude that we are carrying and the thoughts that we are buying into in this split second is in the body at that moment, like you said. It's there already. And in my experience, it sticks there when we stick to that attitude or that thing that we know for sure is real, like the fellow yesterday, the belief system. Does that make sense? So it sticks there. And I think this is what causes scar tissue, if you look at it from, you know, from the soul plane all the way down to the physical.
Well, yes. And talking about sticking there, like, how does we get, right, everything on Earth, everything that we eat, everything that sustains life comes through light, comes through...
Right, from light and sound, yeah.
Source. And that breaks down to the spectrum. And so we're pretty much held down to the laws of this place. You know, we're dealing with, you know, that's one of the things that controls the governing of people who decide to come here on this planet. If we're going to live here, we're going to be affected by light. And everything about us, our life, is affected by light. And so that's just one modality of a way of getting to the trauma or the scar tissue that you're talking about, that's here for this moment. But when you deal with light and deal with the spectrum, then you can...
It'll dissolve. It can dissolve, right?
You can disperse it. And
Sure.
Right. And I do see it. I mean, I see this with 94-year-old clients that I work on.
Wow,
I
really?
See a reverse. Yes, just amazing. And I will say that the less medication that they're taking, the more responsive the body is. I think it has something to do with, you know, the ease that they have of accessing that light. And talking, that when people will talk and be able to express their traumas at the same time that they're getting that particular tissue worked on that is stuck, it is kind of a miracle.
And you've heard me, well said, you've heard me tell the story of Will, you know, Molina, my bodywork fellow that I did, 25 or 30 hours with during the sciatica?
Yeah.
And I was on the table a few times, and I told the story that I saw. I mean, he was really digging deep. And all of a sudden, just in my consciousness, I saw things where I was talking to my uncle when I was about 10 years old or in school.
My God.
Yeah, or just, yeah, all kinds of stuff. Just kind of, you know, so I guess just even experiences, if they have an impact on our life, you know, in any way, that we regard as real, you know. And when you think it's real, then it is real. And I think it sticks in your body.
There's a movie Scarlett Johansson's in called Lucy. And she doesn't do it through meditation, but she takes a drug accidentally. Allows her to access inside of her cell.
Oh, cool.
And she not only goes back to the beginnings of her life, she goes back to the beginnings of time where she actually meets the first Lucy, you know, the first woman, and
I see.
And touches her finger. They make contact. So I love that. I love that somewhere within us is all of time and all that existed to bring us into being at this moment in time.
That's right.
But I also wanted to say something else. I wanted to you know, put one more plug-in for Stephen Hewer's Whey product, because just recently, I know I told you guys that I had the surgery when my arm was broken in a car accident where my airbag deployed and hit my arm into my head. The head was fine, but my arm was crushed and broken in two pieces. And just talking about scar tissue, I did want to say the first thing was that I had never broken anything, and I didn't have a dialogue with being broken in my mind. So I think that was one plus, because the doctor said that I was functioning like no one he'd ever seen with a broken arm, you know, making fists and opening and closing. But the second thing is when they did go in and actually open up the arm, there was no scar tissue. And he said he'd never seen anything like it. It should have been just all mottled up and garbaged up and scar tissued. And he said even right beside the place where the bone was broken and crushed, it was perfect. And I really think it's, you know, part of it was that I held that I'm not broken idea in my mind. But the other thing is that I just was consuming whey and colostrum like crazy during that time.
Or during that time, yeah.
Yeah, during that time I was like tripling up. I just couldn't get enough of it.
And intuitively, then, you know, later you just on, knew,
Stephen
yeah.
told me yeah. that, you know, that actually rebuilds scar tissue. So, I mean, that it actually restores true tissue. So, but see, I didn't know that, but something inside me was just led to do that. And that's the other thing that I really learned that from Adam, is that the way Adam treats is, when he helps, you know, and he does that foot dowsing thing, when he helps people access that initial trauma, then the most amazing thing happens. You take over and you become your own doctor then. And you no longer need him. You no longer need Adano. You don't need Adam, because you've accessed that within yourself that allows you to make your own choices just intuitively.
Well, you're on to something there, sweetie. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Love to both of you.
Good stuff.
Love to share.
Thanks for all the info. And come on, visit some Austin sometime. Take you to lunch.
Okay. We'll do.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye,
Carol.
Yeah, what she said. Yeah, she's great. What she said about the teacher is, you know, similar in spirituality, that when you're working with a master, as kind of a master carpenter, that their whole job is to help you to become your own, and then you don't need them anymore.
Oh yeah.
So you're just
stay dependent on them. Yeah, they haven't done their job.
They haven't done their job, and then it's exactly why. That's God wants us to be all kind of captains of our own ship. Otherwise, we would just be drones, right? We'd be little bee drones.
That's right.
Yeah. So, are you off? You need to go?
I need to leave.
What's going on? You playing tennis today?
I picked my daughter up at her class.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell everybody after I said hi. And
okay.
And if you get anything like really cool things for Mother's Day, please share with us, will you?
I think we're going to be on the tennis court on Mother's Day.
Okay, yeah, well, might as well. All right, dear, thanks.
Okay, I'll see everyone later. Okay, bye-bye.
Yep. Let's see. Well, we did the egg thing. That's funny. Not even possible eating that many eggs. Hi, Patrick. Where is it? God. I need I spilled water on my mouse, and it's really not happy. Would ozonated water be a good to drink with the sulfur? What does Patrick McGinn think? I'm sure it would be fine. A little more oxygen, it's not going to do anything. Yep, ozonated water. Oh, well, that's pretty cool. Somebody sent, thanks to Steve, he sent a whole thing about how to handle pests without poisonous pesticides. The natural exterminator Stephen Twinden's excellent resources. Huh, I'll check these out. I noticed he said that fleas don't like rosemary. Since you have a bunch of growing wild, you can make a rosemary sachet to place where Doodle likes to lay, or even make a rosemary tea. Wow. Oh, that's a great idea. I got plenty of rosemary. This fellow's passionate about providing pest control solutions that are non-toxic to people and pets, especially in schools. Well, we'll put one of these. We'll put one of these up on the show here, Steve, and people could check them out. We're not endorsing this fellow because we don't know anything about him, but he sounds great. Oh, it's pretty cool. Yeah, you know what I could do is also just do a big rosemary tea and maybe rinse her with that after giving her a bath or something, or just sponging it on. Oh, I could just sponge it on her, right? Yeah. I tell you, I think that's colloidal silver. Yesterday I did about two or three times. I don't know. I think we're onto something there with that, maybe killing the bees and killing the larvae and stuff like that. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Well, you talk about non-toxic and, it wouldn't be that expensive because you can dilute it down to, I don't know what it would take. I did about 500 ppms, and you could even do cats with that because it's just like water. You could just put it on your hand and rub it into your cats. So if you'd like to get some really cool, the real deal, monoatomic silver or copper or gold, in high PPMs, it is naturespureorganics.com. Naturespureorganics.com. His name is Gary, and he's got a phone number right there. And Lynn writes in, responding to our little combo with Robert, people with MTHFR polymorphisms are advised to avoid folic in any form in food or supplements. My doctor is really knowledgeable about the mithifer. That's what I call it, mithifer. Okay. Not sure if Robert was referring to Dr. Wolf's discussion about fulvic acid in lieu of zeolite for detoxing. I may have missed it. If doctor was also talking about methylfolate besides fulvic acid. Many people mixed up folate with fulvic acid, totally different item. Fulvic is from the ancient soils full of minerals and vitamins to help us to detox. Folic is B9 only. I knew that. Just kidding, let me get some water here. Okay, I'm with you there. Person knows, obviously, sounds like he knows what he's talking about.